New Testament strangers. In the New Testament, we also find a variety of words translated as strangers, foreigners, aliens, and pilgrims. As the translators did not understand the differences between the different terms for strangers in the Old Testament, it should not surprise us to find the same confusion in the New Testament. The Greek words translated stranger, pilgrim, or sojourner are allogenes, allotrios, apolotrio, epidemio, xenidoshio, xenos, paraepitidemos, paroika, and periukos, and philonexia. With reference to strong thayer and vine, the words that are relevant to this chapter are allotrios, an adjective, meaning another's, that is, not one's own, by extensions, foreign, not akin, hostile, alien, other men, strangers, belonging to another, hence not of one's own group, family, nation, or kingdom, an alien. This is equivalent to the Hebrew word nekar, N-E-K-R, which means of another race. Another word is apolotrio. It is a verb, apio, from plus altrios, to a strange way, that is, pass, and figurative, to be non-participant, alienate, to be alien. To alienate is strange, to be shut out from one's fellowship and intimacy, to be rendered alien, to be alienated, the condition of unbelievers and presented in a threefold state of alienation, from the commonwealth of Israel, from the love of God, from God himself, hence to be shut out from one's group. There is no equivalent for this word in the Hebrew terms. We will use the term estranged. What this means is any person who's estranged could be of any race, but it includes those of Israel. The 10 tribes were cast away. They were temporarily alienated from the covenant of God. Another word is epidemio, to make oneself at home, that is, to reside in a foreign country, to be dwelling where there are strangers, to be present among one's people in one's city or one's native land, to be a sojourner of a foreigner resident among any people in any country. This is the participle equivalent of the Hebrew ger, G-E-R. We will use the term visiting, and these are Adamic Hebrew Israelites. The next word is xenos. It's an adjective meaning foreign, alien, or figuratively novel, by implication a guest, or vice versa, entertainer, host, stranger, a foreigner, a stranger, alien from the person or a thing, without the knowledge of, without a share in, new, unheard of, one who receives and entertains another hospitality, with whom he stays or lodges. Strange denotes a stranger in the sense of an unknown person of the same group. There is no equivalent for this word in the Hebrew terms. We will use the word stranger, could be of any race, including Israel. The word parapedemios is an adjective or a noun, and expressing the contrary condition, to sojourn a people, an alien alongside, that is, a resident foreigner, a pilgrim, a stranger, one who comes from a foreign country into a city or land to reside there by the side of the natives, a stranger sojourning in a strange place, a foreigner, in the New Testament metaphorically, in reference to heaven as the native country, one who sojourns on earth, sojourning in the strange place away from one's own people, used of those to whom heaven is their own country and who are sojourners on earth, denotes a sojourner and exile. As this term is related to epidemio above, it is the equivalent of the Hebrew word ger. We will use the term visitor, which can be and usually is Adamic Hebrew Israelite. Periakia is another word, foreign residents, sojourning as strangers, a dwelling near or with one, dwelling in a strange land. A life of a man here on earth is likened to a sojourn. And we will use it's similar to the Hebrew word toshab, and we will use the term temporary resident, speaking of Adamic Hebrew Israelite. Another word is peroikos, having a home near, that is, as noun, a bydweller, a foreigner, an alien, resident, sojourn, stranger, dwelling near, neighboring in the New Testament, a stranger, a foreigner, one who lives in a place without the right of citizenship, without citizenship in God's kingdom, one who lives on earth as a stranger, a sojourner on the earth, of Christians whose home is in heaven, one who dwells in a place. 1 Peter 2:11, as sojourners and aliens. This is the equivalent of the Hebrew word toshab, which we've already used, as a temporary resident could be an Israelite. The New Testament, therefore, has a similar variety of words as has the Old Testament in this area, so we can no longer presume that all strangers and foreigners, as translated, are non-Israelites. Comparisons must be made from the Old Testament foundation in the Law, the Psalms, and the Prophets. There is a certain relationship conveyed by one pair of words used in the Old Testament, which always compares with the same sentiment conveyed by a similar pairing of the words in the New Testament. These New Testament phrases are derived from the Old Testament, so there is a link between them. Psalm 39:12, hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear to my cry. Hold not thy peace at my tears. For I am a stranger, kinsman visitor with thee, and a sojourner, toshab, temporary resident, as all my fathers were. Genesis 23:4, I am a stranger, kinsman visitor, and a sojourner, toshab, temporary resident with you. Leviticus 25:23, for ye are strangers, kinsman visitor, and sojourners, toshab, temporary resident, with me. 1 Chronicles 29:15, we are strangers, kinsman visitor, before thee and sojourners, toshab, temporary resident. And 1 Peter 2:11, dearly beloved, I beseech as strangers, temporary resident, and pilgrims. So Peter was writing to the Hebrews. In Hebrews 11:13, these all died in faith and confessed that they were pilgrims, xenos, stranger, and strangers, parapediomus, visitors on the earth. Those were God's people. Ephesians 2:12, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers, xenos, and the first word of the apolatrio, from the covenants of promise. This was Israel. Ephesians 2:19, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints of the household of God, xenos and perikos, talking about Israel. Here we have a selection of scriptures from both testaments in which there are parallel words. In the Old Testament references, the paired words are ger and toshab. In each case, while both terms are used to define race, it is essential to determine the context in which they are used to verify which race is under consideration. In Hebrews 11:13, the pilgrims and strangers are Israelites because the book is written to the Hebrews, those whose fathers have been given the law of Moses. In other words, in other New Testament verses, it is not clear at first glance that they are Israelites. But when we examine the Greek, we find similar terms, ones that identify Israelites in each context, and it is easy to verify that each reference is indeed to Israelites. These paired words do not teach that there are two groups of people, but rather that they are all are Israelites in two different situations. When David said that he was a stranger and a sojourner in Psalm 39:12, he was one person who was two things. He was a stranger and he was an alien, are not necessarily two completely dissimilar groups of people. In Ephesians 2:12 and 2:19, in this case, there are one group of people who are two things. This follows exactly the same pattern as presented in the Old Testament. When we compare what David is saying in Psalm 39:12 with what Peter is saying in 1 Peter 2:11, we find a common distinction. David refers to all my fathers who were, of course, Israelites. Peter is addressing the elect and not others. This book of Peter is written to strangers, scattered. Note this well, there is no way around it. This cannot be spiritualized to make it refer to some non-Israelite multicultural church or multiracial church. Both David and Peter are saying they have no kinship with the races among whom they, Israel, are temporarily living, that is, for the duration of their lives. We find a remarkable affinity and agreement between both testaments. In both, Israel is totally exclusive. It is now even more difficult to insist that these so-called Gentiles are non-Israelites. Before we leave this subject of strangers, let us consider another very significant scripture. John 7:35, will he go into the dispersed among the Gentiles, the word Hellenes or Greeks, and teach the Gentiles, Hellenists or Greeks? As we saw in the chapter, Galatians and Israel exclusive that dispersed among the Greeks relates to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, whom Jesus says he came for only, Matthew 10:6 and 15:24. Those lost sheep were the only ones the disciples were instructed to visit. Come now and let us reason together. Could the disciples go to proclaim the gospel to the kingdom of a race they could not find because they were lost? They were not so lost that they could not be found, were they? Lost in this context has to do with being put aside for punishment. That's what the word lost means. To read the parables of Jesus in the light that these lost sheep are the house of Israel is enlightening. The lost sheep are never non-Israelites. When we come to the regathering of those strangers who are scattered, how could it ever be regathering of any other than that exclusive race of Israel who were scattered in the first place? When we look again at 1 Peter 2:9, we find these particular strangers of 1 Peter 1:1 were chosen, Isaiah 41:8, Jacob whom I have chosen, a royal priesthood, Isaiah 61:1, Hosea 4:6, and holy nation, Deuteronomy 14:2. Please note that nation is singular in this context. Some may still wish to deny these holy, set-apart people still exist as being different from all other nations. But Peter knew they still existed when he wrote to them. A peculiar people, Exodus 19:5, Deuteronomy 26:18, Psalm 135:4, Israel and Judah were taken into their respective captivities because of their continued disobedience under the law. Following the captivities, these people moved away from Palestine because God had cast them out of that land. On top of being scattered, they also lost all knowledge of their law, which means they lost the rituals for reconciliation with God. They were lost as members of the eternal kingdom of God. However, as a nation of people, they did not cease to exist. Jeremiah 31:36 and 37 and Jeremiah 33:17, Jesus came for these people because by making an ultimate sacrifice, they no longer needed the Levitical law as a means of reconciliation with God. They could go direct by prayer in Jesus' name because he is now the mediator for the individual Israelite. It was still limited to Israelites because only they had broken the law covenant. Only they had the indwelling spirit that needed to be saved from eternal death. The physical location of the dispersed tribes was well known up to the time of the destruction of the temple in 70 AD. After that, with no temple in Jerusalem as a focus for ceremony for those who wished to make the journey, the whereabouts of these people was forgotten over time. Nevertheless, the existence of the sun, the moon, the stars says the nation of people still exists today. The words of Jeremiah's prophecy are quite definite and cannot possibly apply to a church in the popular concept. As a separate matter of prophecy, the nation of Israel would always have a monarchy ruling over them from the site of the official throne. This is sometimes confused with 1 Peter 2:13, which refers to the people respecting the authority of the king. This is a different matter. The teaching throughout the New Testament, even for the Judeans, is to obey the civilian authorities of the day, render unto Caesar, etc., and not to foment social upheaval. This directs us to stand up for what is right when formal opportunities and mechanisms are available, but not to incite social unrest by going outside the formal system. How would these houses be spiritualized? The quoted prophecies are those made to Israel. Israel is still just as exclusive today. Hallelujah and praise the Lord.